Aloha mai kakou and welcome to this town hall for the office of mayor for the county of Kauai and Niihau. All right, we have Mel Raposo joining us tonight. This town hall is being broadcast live on Ho'ike's YouTube channel and at Kauai Community Radio 91.9 or at kkcr.org. It is also on the Facebook Live for Malama Kauai and on the Instagram Live for Kauai Wire. I want to start off by saying mahalo to Halelehu'e for this space tonight. Also, thank you to Olivia from Ho'ike Community Media for doing the television broadcast for us tonight. Thank you also to Kauai Wire. Waylon Brun is going to be the moderator for this evening, and also they're broadcasting too. Thanks to Malama Kauai for being the driving force behind the organization and also running this Facebook Live and collecting questions from the audience tonight. And I also want to give a big thank you to the volunteers at Kauai Community Radio for broadcasting this and archiving it for the future. My name is Annie, and I'll be the beginning and the end. this did originally start as a debate and now shifted into a town hall, but we're still sort of adhering to our original rules. And those rules are that there are 2 minutes to respond to the questions that were submitted by various organizations around the island. There will be a timekeeper in the back that has times that will let you know 1 minute, 30 seconds, 15, and then pow. The moderator will be Waylon Brun tonight. He'll be asking all of the questions. As moderator, he is not permitted to give any commentary nor do any advocacy for the candidate tonight. Next rule is audience conduct. There's no participating from the audience per se. There's no heckling. If you have questions for the candidate, because we are going to open up the questions because there's now much more time than we had before, you can submit those questions to Jimmy Trujillo. He's standing in the back. He's got a piece of paper, and he's going to pass them on to Megan, who will be putting them into here to read there. So there's things to do with that. And then again, like Mel has said, he has agreed to take questions from the listeners and the viewers at the end of the questions from the organizations. So if you are listening or viewing right now, you can submit your questions to Malama Kauai's Facebook Live. You can also instant message her. You can also submit questions to Kauai Wire's Instagram as well. So do take advantage of that, because now is your opportunity for that. And now on to the questions. They have been, questions have been solicited from a broad cross-section of Kauai community organizations. They represent different geographic areas, industries, interests, and constituencies. They were chosen for relevance to Kauai and the responsibilities of the mayor. They were chosen for neutral wording, applicability to the candidates. They were reviewed for any duplicative language, and they were reviewed to for their ability to be reasonably addressed in the allotted time. So there's that. And then I want to finally thank the organizations that did submit these questions. And so we have the Lihue Business Association, the Kauai Chamber of Commerce, the Cattlemen's Association, Kauai Conservation Alliance, Malama Kauai, Iolawai Lua Nui, Kilauea Neighborhood Association, Hanalei Initiative, Koloa Community Association, Ke Kaha Hawaiian Homestead Association, and Permanently Affordable Living Hawaii. Those are the folks that submitted questions tonight. And we're grateful for everyone who has joined us tonight. And without further ado, we'll have an opening statement, and then at the end, a closing statement. And that's our evening. Thank you.
We say a round of applause for Annie.
Yeah, there you go. You know, she said no audience participation. Everybody's
scared. That was a test. You guys all failed. Thank you, guys.
We ain't clapping. We ain't clapping. No, we ain't doing nothing. But.
All right. Be patient with me. First attempt. Okay. So, first question is from Lihue Business Association. Excluding housing...
Can I get an opening statement first?
You're absolutely correct. We're testing everybody today. All right, Mal, we'll give you your opening statement.
Yeah, and the really only opening statement I have is, first of all, thank you all for being here tonight. Thank you all for being on the on KKCR and Huike's YouTube channel. I just want to thank the organizers, all of you, 13 organizations and all the people that were involved. I want to say that I've been involved in a community for a long time, and I've organized events for a specific organization or another, but I've never done one with 13 organizations. So I just want to say thank you. I know how hard it must have been, and I want to make it very clear that from the day that I got invited to this debate on August 10th, there has been nothing but organization, transparency, and accommodations. And I'm just amazed that you guys were able to get this together. And I just want to say thank you all. I'm not going to start naming them because that's just too many. But I know how much you all worked, how many hours you put in on this. I'll say this, you know, these forums and these debates, it's not for me, the candidate. It's not for any of the candidates. These forums that you go to, it's not about the candidates. It's for you. It is vital that we have more of these, because I think it's important that the voters out there are informed of the candidates. And the only way they're going to get this quality type of information is by having these live events. So thank you all for being here, and thank you for all of you for that's putting this together. Thank you.
All right. All right. Our first question is from the Lihue Business Association. And excluding housing, what do you believe is the single most important matter you will address as mayor?
By far, it's infrastructure. I think I've been saying this for many years, actually. The reason I'm running for mayor is because, as loud as I have been pounding the drums for our critical infrastructure, meaning our water, wastewater, and solid waste, we talk about housing a lot, but without infrastructure, you don't get housing. Without infrastructure, you don't have business development. And again, the powers of the council versus the powers of the administration is defined that the council is legislative. We pass laws and we approve budgets. We don't have the authority to implement actions that we need to get done. I'll be honest with you, it's been frustrating. For most of you that have followed politics over the last 18 years, which this is my 18th year on the council, and my first election was in 2002. So 24 years that I've been pounding the drum on the need for us to pursue landfill, alternative technologies, whatever it may be, the need for us to start working on our wastewater issues so we can provide more sewer services to our customers, to our residents, because we have a crisis with cesspools. And as long as I have been breathing air as a council member, I have been talking about these issues. And while the council gets blamed all the time, we don't have the authority to make these things happen. The only way that can happen is if I'm sitting in the mayor's seat, where I can direct the administration to move forward in these areas that need to get done. We have kicked the can down the road for way too long, and we do not have any more road to kick the can down. This next mayor is going to have a huge challenge, and I want to be that mayor. Thank you.
All right. Next question is from the Chamber of Commerce. Please explain how you will organize the Office of Economic Development under your administration. How will it change from the current organization? Be specific about the position you will maintain and what their responsibility will be.
Economic development is a vital tool for this community. I don't see much change in the structure except enhancing their current roles. Right now, the Economic Development Office operates pretty much as a pass-through. We get federal funds, we put out applications, community organizations apply for grants, and we write the check. That, to me, that is not the full potential of economic development. We need to be innovative. I really want to expand our agricultural division in economic development. I believe that is the lowest hanging fruit if we want to diversify our economy. The other area is film. We have a film department, a film division, and the problem is we have one employee in each of these different sectors, which is impossible to get anything done other than your normal duties of being the pass-through. We have a vibrant community of talented people here. I'm going to put a plug in for Hoike because I utilize Hoike a lot.
Aloha! Welcome to Holiday Hoike.
Okay. Hoike is a community resource that is underutilized, much like KKCR. When I go to Hoike to do filming or to do some projects, there's a lot of kupuna and a lot of keiki in there that's learning how to make film. We have middle schools here that are producing amazing, amazing talented kids coming out of those schools. I want to capitalize on that and really focus on promoting that film industry where Kauai could be the small film capital of the state. I think there's so much potential there, and not just in filming, but in editing, in production, and so forth. Thank you. I only get 2 minutes, guys. Sorry, I got to crank them in.
All right.
Sorry for the disturbance.
Next question is from Kauai Cattlemen's Association. The cattle industry has limited growth and ability to keep local proteins on island due to a shortage of slaughterhouse and processing and cold storage capacity. What would you do to support expansion of these resources on Kauai?
You know, I'm not going to sit up here and proclaim to be an expert in anything, but I know one thing that I have learned in my 18 years serving on this county council is the solutions to many of our problems lie right within our communities. The expertise is right here in our communities, our ranchers, our farmers, all of these people that know what needs to be done. My focus as your mayor will be to bring these working groups together where we can capitalize on their knowledge and experience. And you know, I appreciate the technical expertise that is provided by our consultants from across the ocean that we pay $100,000, $200,000, $300,000 for, but I would love to see what we have to offer here, right in our own backyard. I've spoken, Waylon, great example, but there's so many of us around that are experts in those fields. Slaughterhouses are so vital, right? And we, as a county, gosh, that time things go up so quick. My plan is to work directly with nonprofits. I wanna form partnerships between the county and our nonprofits around this island. We have 13 of them are here tonight, but there's so many more that can provide the services that we need at a much lower cost and a much quicker pace. Why aren't we partnering with these people and more? See, a lot of these people can provide, whether it's with slaughterhouses or with homeless or other issues that we face. These nonprofits have the capacity, the resources to do it, except they don't have the funding. And that is where the county can step up. We leverage our county dollars against the nonprofit structure. Miracles can happen. My honest opinion.
All right. Next question is from Kauai Conservation Alliance. Invasive species such as coconut rhinoceros beetle and little fire ants have devastating effects on food security, ecosystems, and the tourism economy. These pests arrived from inter-island commerce and travel, with certain industries have spread them. How will the county prevent invasive pests from wreaking havoc on Kauai?
Great question. You guys all know CRB is creating is devastating our island, no doubt about it. And we're moving too slow. We, meaning the state and the county and the federal government. I'll just say this, the voice of the mayor is a lot louder than the voice of a council member, even the council chair. I've been a council chair for almost 10 years, and it's like I feel so helpless because my point is this, we need help from the state. We need help from Department of Ag. We need help from Department of Health. I can assure you that Governor Josh Green will know me very well in a very short period of time, because we need to make the case to them. Little fire ants, I can't remember what agency came up and shared, I had no idea what a little fire ant was a couple years ago. And they came up in a very short presentation in my office, and I saw the devastation that that little creature was doing. So I proposed $100,000 into the budget so we could focus just on the fire ants, and they did. But there's so much more to do. It's not about money, it's about priority. And when we look at the CRB, when we had the Koki frog show up in Lawai Valley many years ago, Jay Fafaro was the chair, and he came up and he put in $300,000 in a budget for Koki frog removal. I almost had a stroke. I'm like, $300,000? I can go in that valley and go catch him myself. And then I called my friend on the Big Island, Fresh Onishi, council member. I said, bro, they have a problem in Hilo. And I said, what do you think about investing money in this eradication of this Koki frog? And he told me, Mel, even if it costs $1 million, it's going to be a great investment. And we put the money in. They handled that issue. Lawai Valley got rid of all the Koki frogs. That's the attitude we have to have with the little fire ant. That's the attitude we got to have with the CRB. Because imagine Kauai without coconut trees. But again, it's not money, it's priority. Where do we put our priorities? Thank you.
All right. Next question is from Malama Kauai. We've sent you both a copy of our 2026 Kauai Agricultural Industry Policy Survey results. First, did you read them? If so, which particular item that farmers are requesting via the survey will you support with them with, and how, if elected, please be specific in your strategies.
In 2 minutes, okay. You asked me this question at the forum at the Cavite Center. I mean, at the Filipino Cultural Center. I brought the plan with me just to prove that I did read it. I didn't bring it tonight because I had already read it. There's so many good things. One of the things about that your plan that you provided was the fact that every single community was treated differently and was recognized differently. Every community on this island, as it relates to food production and sustainability, has different issues and different methods. So I think the way that was produced, the way it was conducted, I love the food hub ideas. I think going back to what I said in an earlier question, you hear this a lot from me tonight, is working with those organizations and allowing them to do what they do best. We cannot duplicate what Malama Kauai does. For the county to do the study that they provided would take us probably $400,000 and 18 months. And then what, right? Then does the county have the capacity to implement the components of that plan? No, we don't. We have an economic development office with a very small staff. They're not working on the ground. But why wouldn't we work with Malama Kauai? Why wouldn't we work at organizations like that that can actually implement what these plans are suggesting that we do? So, yeah, I did read it. Megan, where's Megan? I did read it. And there's just so much in that plan that can be discussed. I think the food hubs, I think getting you know, communities. I'll be honest with you all. I mean, you know, the Kilauea Ag Park is struggling right now. And the fact that, you know, the build it and they will come theory might work for Field of Dreams, but if we don't have proper planning and accepting the fact that we have what the military calls limiting factors, LIMFAX is what it's called in the military, we got to address those limiting factors and not be AMPAW. Thank you. That's 2 minutes.
Thank you for not fighting me on that. That was one of my biggest concerns.
I'm not gonna.
No, you're making my job easy. Iola Wailua Nui. Do you support or oppose the development of a hotel at the old Cocoa Palm property? Do you support COK playing a role in acquiring the former Cocoa Palm parcel for community stewardship? If so, what role would that be as it relates to funding and land acquisition?
First of all, I do not support the reconstruction or rebuild of Cocoa Palms. 10 years ago, I was a very strong advocate. I was a very strong proponent because the community wanted to see that resort built. Today, it's not the same. Everything has changed on Kauai in the last 10, 15 years. I do not support the construction at a hotel. I live in the Wailo House lots, right up the road from Coco Palms. I was raised at Coco Palms. My mom was a executive secretary there for food and beverage. We spent all of our weekends at Coco Palms. There's no one with a more emotional connection. I shouldn't say no one, but very few people that are here today have as strong as an emotional connection that I have to the former Coco Palms. That is gone. I'm sorry. What these new people are planning to build on that property is not the old Coco Palms. It is a complete rebuild. And that goes against the Iniki ordinance, and that goes against what the community wants. This owner somehow got the okay to pay a small amount of money, relatively speaking, $97,000, in lieu of the count of building the entrance and exit roads for this hotel. So now the county's got to build that. You know how much that costs upon a road? You got to build a two-lane road with a turning lane that goes on to Halelio. Halelio. And that is going to cost millions of dollars. So as far as what the county will do, I have already submitted a request over to our Open Space Commission requesting that they look at acquisition of Coco Palms property. Because that needs to be done. When I brought that up a year or so ago at a council meeting, I got a lot of backlash because I mentioned the word eminent domain. But if we cannot negotiate a transfer of that property, I that is still an option for this county. Wow, the red sign goes up. Sorry, I'm not cutting you guys off. She's cutting me off, okay? I just want to let you guys know.
All right, next question. Kilauea Neighborhood Association. The current administration has invested significant time and resources into the Kilauea Town Expansion Plan, with affordable housing at the center of that effort, as well as traffic mitigation and traffic flow safety initiatives. Will the Kilauea Town Expansion Plan remain a priority under your administration? If not, what would take priority over these needs?
No, it'll remain. Let me just say that, you know, our housing agency with Adam Reversi has done an outstanding job in our county. I am totally impressed. Nothing against attorneys, but when I always thought that a housing agency director should be a housing kind of guy. But I will tell you, since Adam took over, we lead the state in units per capita here as far as affordable housing. Adam has mastered the art of creative financing for these projects. And the Kilauea project is an example of that. I have absolutely no intentions of derailing any of the programs and projects that Adam has set forth, that Mayor Kawakami has implemented. Not at all. I look forward to expanding what they are doing. And real quick, because we're talking about housing, also focusing on the workforce group, the gap group, by the way, I want to shout out to my son, Baron, who's in Beaverton, Oregon right now. He's actually watching tonight, and he's there because he cannot afford a house here. My daughter's in Houston, Texas. She's sleeping, but she'll watch this tomorrow morning, so shout out to her too. And of course, my lovely wife, Patsy, over here. Next September 9th, 37 years married. You can clap for that. I'm sorry, we're going to break the rule. Clap for that. Because she is so, yes, I have absolutely no intention of derailing any of the housing projects that are in place or that is set to begin.
All right. Hanalei Initiative. Visitors are vital to Kauai's economy, but concentrated visitors use can affect residents' quality of life. What impacts are not being adequately addressed, and what specific actions are you prepared to take as mayor to make improvements across the island?
I got to visit Hanalei Initiative a while back with Joel and Dane, actually, and really impressed with what they're doing in our communities. One of the first things that I will do in my administration is really pursue a capacity study here for Kauai. I think we are over capacity, and we have not ever done a capacity study. It's very hard to determine what direction we're going to go if we don't know where we're at. And the capacity study needs to be done. One of the things I'm going to do as far as visitor impacts is we collect a lot of money from the transit accommodations tax every year. It's significant. What we don't do is basically create a budget, a separate budget within our budget, to determine how those funds are going to be spent. As your mayor, I will make sure that every penny of the TAT fund goes directly to what the impacts that our visit industry has on our island. We cannot use the TAT as a slush fund for other projects. That funds was designated, that funds were dedicated to offset the impacts that are created by the visitor industry. But if we don't know what we're spending it on, then it's very difficult. So we will have a budget within a budget that we will be able to show not only to the public but to the visitor industry, this is where your money is going. What are the impacts? I tell you what the impacts are, right? And I, listen, it's not about we got to make this place beautiful for the visitors. Let's make it beautiful for our residents. And guess who benefits? The visitors. It's a shift in mindset, folks. We got to make sure we take our local people first, and then the visitor industry will benefit.
All right. Kalua Community Association. Both an EA and EIS for Kalua Poipu Regional Wastewater Treatment Plant were completed in 2008. We have a willing landowner near Kalua Mill. What role will you as mayor play in helping the citizens of Kalua achieve a sewage treatment plant that will become a reality?
Again, I just met with one of the representatives of Hawaii Water Service. They run the private plant out there. We had a long discussion about their future plans, and everything is kind of on hold. You know, wastewater, as I stated earlier, is a big issue across this island. And Kalua and Poipu area, you know, the cost to go septic is ridiculously high because of your rock out there, your blue rock out there. I'm being told it's like $100,000 to put a septic. And one of the things that I'm going to do as mayor is sign a proclamation, emergency proclamation on wastewater. Also one for solid waste, because the priority needs to be at its highest level. Another move, which will take a charter amendment, is really to move wastewater under the water department, because right now the water department is struggling with finances. You know, everything is charged to the user, and we have a very small revenue source because our water rates are very low. But combining the two to really push our initiatives forward, wastewater is a priority, because by 2050, what's going to happen? What's going to happen in 2050 when the state says, okay, guys, your cesspool needs to be converted? Well, I can't afford it. Okay, so what? Are you going to repossess your cesspool? What, are you going to cut off your water? So we got to really put that priority at its highest, because that needs to happen, and it can only happen with the energies and the priorities of this county being addressed immediately. You know, people say everything. What frustrates me the most about government, and I'm not just speaking about Kauai, it's everywhere, is there's always a convenient excuse of it being too expensive. So because it's too expensive, we're not going to pursue it. Well, that cannot happen no more. We need to go out and secure the funding. And I see Council Vice Chair Kipukai Kuli here. He goes to Washington, D.C. with me every year. And we are pow.
I like how it just ends. Boom. I love it.
That was perfect, too. The timing was perfect, Andy.
All right. Kekaha Hawaiian Homestead Association. Once the Kekaha landfill has reached its capacity and is no longer in service, what is the county's plan on landfill rehabilitation for the site and surrounding area? And for how long? How will the Kekaha landfill become a safe place for future generations with healthy land, air, and waters?
This is insane for 2 minutes, but let me just say, that landfill is going to fill. We don't have a plan. Let me just start off right now. The existing administration doesn't have a plan. We're thinking about a lot of things, but we don't have a plan. That concerns me. So that's the second proclamation that we'll sign is for solid waste. That landfill is going to fill up before we can build a new landfill. I have said numerous times, and you heard it here. 10 years ago, I argued. I disagreed with Joanne Yukimura about diversion, about recycling. And I just saw her, man, not long ago, and I said, Joanne, I wish we had listened to you. I wish I had listened to you. I was so stuck on my knowledge, that little that I had as a young council member. If we had listened and if we had started to pursue the diversion, we might not be having this discussion right now. I own it. That was a mistake. But right now, I know that's the topic. We got to divert. We got to divert everything we can. And curbside recycling came up. I introduced a resolution. to urge this administration to pursue curbside recycling, because that's the problem. The problem is not where we're going to put the trash. The problem is we have too much trash. If you went to the Kekaha community meeting, I know some of you were there, they are basing all of their projections on the fact that we have 250 tons of trash a day. They have not incorporated the potential of diverting 60% of that, which changes the options that we have. We are fixed on this 250 tons a day. We're designing everything. They even took a picture. They made an AI picture of a mountain of this is what it's going to look like with this little expansion that we're putting over phase one, which is unlined. Phase one is unlined. There's no liner under that, and we're going to put more trash on there. And that computer-generated picture was like, that's based on 250 tons a day.
Paul.
I get passionate about these things, guys, because it's real. This is real. This is not something that we can push off to the next administration. After mine.
All right. Permanently affordable living. What is your strategy for helping nonprofit affordable housing organizations produce more affordable housing on Kauai, specifically through the use of county-owned land and funding mechanisms such as bonds or other dedicated financial sources?
You know, I don't like sound like I'm sucking up to all the organizations that are here, but, you know, PAL Hawaii is a phenomenal, all of you are. But, you know, I have had the opportunity to work closely with PAL, at least have discussions with them. And one thing that you said, county-owned land, which we don't have, that is the key to solving the housing crisis. We don't have land. Oahu, Maui, Big Island, they get plenty of land, so they work with developers, they provide the land. We don't have that luxury. Thankfully, we just purchased 140 acres from Grow Farm in Puhi. That's going to be developed into a nice housing project like Limaola. We need to do more of those. Grow Farm, you know, I know some people don't like Grow Farm. Whether you like them or not, they are the ones that own the land. And we have an opportunity. I personally had lunch with Steve Case. He is willing to work with us in partnership to provide us these lands at, not give, but at lower costs, so we can bank our land, so we can go to PAL Hawaii. We can go to these nonprofit or even for-profit developers and say, hey, partner with us. We'll provide the land, you provide the housing, and let's get our local people in homes. Without land, there is nothing. We are subject to these developers that are coming down, like in Koloa, and building these homes, telling you that it's a $500,000 home, and then a few months later, it's $700,000 that no local guy is going to be able to afford. We control the narrative if we control the land. We control the requirements if we control the land. We need to get land. And I am not afraid to go out and incur debt in the way of some bond financing or whatever it may take, so we have the land and we can control the narrative.
Perfect. All right. That is all the nonprofit questions.
Well, I'll see you guys later.
All right. Looking at my authority, are we going to just roll into the community questions? Okay.
That was quick.
I know. We should have given you 8 minutes.
the rule was I had two plus one to rebut, right? So shouldn't I get three?
Kauai High School math, that's four. Since we in Lihue.
No.
If it's Kapa High School, that's 7 minutes. Yeah.
Some of these questions require a little longer answer. Some of them, you know. So anyway, we'll just, whatever. You just raise your flag and I'll stop when you tell me to stop.
So we got to start back from the top and give an extra minute now? Oh, okay. Nonprofits, you guys got two minutes. Community, we love you. All right. KKCR listener, not listed in name. What are your plans for future multi-model transportation? Would you support the creation or more bike lanes on county roads?
That is another area I think that our Public Works Department has done a great job as far as implementing bike lanes. I mean, there's bike lanes everywhere now. We never had bike lanes. We just need people on the bikes to use them. That's all. I see more bikes on sidewalks than I see on the bike lanes. I'm being real, guys. Just being honest. Right now, what I really want to see is, and this is a plug out there, an ask for anyone that wants to make some extra money, go drive a county bus. We don't have bus drivers, you know. We don't have Sunday service. And that's one of our largest complaints. We got people here that are they're required to travel on Sundays. And, you know, we always get hit. That one's not funding. The money's there. Our transportation agency, majority of their funding comes from the federal government. We have the funding. We just don't have drivers. So, you know, my plan is, as mayor, is not to come in and completely stop all the things that the county is doing right now. It's to enhance what we can. But I definitely support the multimodal transportation plans that we currently have. A lot of money has been spent on those plans. But I think priority number one, get our bus back running 7 days a week. That is what I have been hearing the most from our constituents, and we need to get that done. Thank you.
All right. This is from a Kauai Wire listener. Kauai voters created an independent office of the county auditor to provide oversight over the county's spending, performance, waste, fraud, internal controls. The county has not put an auditor in position in current vacant. It's currently vacant. As mayor, what would you do to ensure Kauai has a strong independent oversight of county government, and would you support fully staffing an auditor's office?
Absolutely. I mean, I support that now. I support the funding that let me give you a real quick history lesson. In my early days on a council, I still have the record of the council member that has requested more audits than anyone else. And interestingly, back in the old days, audits were a bad word. So whenever I proposed the audit, I could never get the votes on council to pass. So Jay Fafaro again, as a council chair, said, hey, let's do a charter amendment to create an office of the auditor. That way we don't have to worry about passing these resolutions to form an audit or get an audit done. And that went on the ballot and it passed. So we did. We hired an auditor. That auditor's position has been vacant for quite a while now. And I know that I read it just recently, in fact. Gary Hoosier reminds us every so many months. He writes an article in a paper to tell us about the fact that we haven't hired an auditor. And he's right. We need that. It's a charter requirement. But it's not empty. It's not vacant because the council haven't tried. Go online right now and go look up the job openings. That position is there. The problem with that position, number one, you have to have a qualified, certified government auditor. Number two, our pay scale, which is set by the salary commission, not the council, is too low. Our salary is too low. The salary commission right now is in the middle of a study that's evaluating all of our specialized department heads' pay. Because until we raise that pay, you're either going to get a really bad auditor, which is dangerous, or you're not going to get applications. We've had numerous applicants. We've had numerous interviews. Majority of our applicants all came from foreign countries. And this is all public record, folks. I feel sometimes it's offensive, you know, and it's like, bro, you guys not hiring them because you this place is so corrupt. There's no one that wants that auditor position filled more than me. Because that independent auditor is what every county, every city needs. So as mayor, the county auditor is a function under the council services, not the mayor. But I can tell you that as your mayor, I will do everything I can to work with the council to get that position filled. Remember I said the voice of the mayor is louder than the voice of a council chair? You know, maybe the mayor goes going around the state looking for auditors. Maybe we can get more fish to bite. But it's tough. We try constantly to have that position filled. And I hope you guys believe that, because the rhetoric sometimes, it's controversy. And this council has tried tremendously. We had a woman from Washington State. She was perfect. She was a county auditor. Part of the application process is you got to send us some audit reports that you've done. Some of these guys, you know, I applied. I was a night auditor hotel. I applied and the council said, you ain't qualified, you know. I think I am, but I wasn't. It was the right choice. But this lady was everything we needed. I'm Paul. She got the job offer and then she declined. Her husband had a better offer somewhere else. So we try.
All right. This next question is from a Malama Kauai follower. Our parks and facilities are falling apart, and we have no appropriate hurricane shelters. Why is this happening, and how do you plan on addressing these long-standing issues?
That's why I'm running for mayor. I'm not happy. You know, I'm not happy. I think, you know, again, part of that TAT money that I talked about, a lot of that money needs to be diverted to our parks because that's where we need help. And I mean, no disrespect to our current park staff. I went out to Anini Beach. Myself and Councilmember Holland went out to meet a constituent, and we pulled up unannounced, and those two guys working at that park was busting their okole. They were sweating, dripping wet. They didn't know we were coming. It's not like they said, oh, but we got to work because a councilmember was coming. I was so impressed with what they were doing, and it's just that we just don't have we don't have the manpower to totally. So I have my own ideas as far as how we restructure parks and how we create accountability at the parks as far as, you know, why aren't we assigning specific people to specific parks, and the idea is to bring pride and ownership to these parks. I have a simple solution, right? You put up a sign, and I've told this to the last two mayors. Put up a sign at each park. Welcome to Kalena Park. This park proudly maintained by John Doe and Jane Doe. And once my name is on that sign, I'm taking care of that thing. The other thing is, I don't know who my parks director is going to be. We have a vacancy. That parks director is going to have to be able to put up a five-year comprehensive park improvement plan. Our restrooms, I was a private investigator, process server. I drove this whole island. I know where every single county bathroom is. And I know where every single clean county bathroom is. Why is it when you go to the west side, the bathrooms are all super clean and smell like my grandma's bathroom when I was growing up? And the more used parks, we struggle. We struggle. So, real quick, if I go to a park, I go to a park on a Sunday and the park is bathroom, I mean, the bathroom is dirty, I'm not calling the guy. If I'm the mayor and I show up, I call the parks director and I tell the park director, hey, go get your dirty clothes, you come into the park and you go clean this bathroom. How many times do you think that parks director is going to come on a Sunday to clean a dirty bathroom before things shape up? Unorthodox? Yeah. How else do you do it? How else do you do it?
All right, perfect. All right, next question is from County Council candidate Mike Coots. What is one decision you would make as mayor that could be unpopular today, but you think Kauai will thank you for 20 years from now?
I don't know. My gosh. I think all of the changes that is in my brain right now, is in my mind right now, of the changes that need to be done, have been formulated because of the constituents that have talked about it. I don't see any, you know, if you look at my plan for solid waste, right? I mean, we definitely got to do diversion. Is anybody going to be upset? I'll be honest with you. Curbside recycling isn't cheap. Curbside recycling will cost money. Curbside recycling might increase your trash can pickup every month. So yeah, maybe they'll be upset about that. But I will tell you, down the line, they're going to be very appreciative when they're not faced with the crisis that we have today. Where now you're looking at spending $300 million on a new landfill and all the environmental issues that come with that. So yeah, I think that probably would be the one. I think the sewerization as well. I think when you look at infrastructure, it is expensive. So when we go out for bond financing, we go out and sell some bonds, that's like going out and getting a mortgage. You know, you have a mortgage. The County of Kauai, we're blessed that we have, although the last couple audits, financial audits, we didn't do as well. So we do have some issues with borrowing. But the fact of the matter is, we got to go out and borrow money to address some of these concerns. That's going to come with a price tag as well. That's why I'm saying this next mayor is going to have challenges, but that next mayor is going to have to make those decisions. We cannot continue to use it's too expensive as an excuse, because what happens next? We don't have a choice with solid waste. We don't have a choice with wastewater. Our facility in Wailua, I saw this. By the way, there's this survey going around and has all these bad things that Mayor Raposo voted on. Has anybody got that survey yet? It's like really horrific. It's like 8 pages about my opponents, all the good things that he did, and there's about 8 pages of all the terrible votes I've done in my career. It's obvious what it is. But one of those questions was that I did not support the funding of the repairs to the Wailua sewage treatment plant. I do not support that. You know why? Because that sewer plant is in a tsunami zone. That sewer plant is antiquated. That sewer plant is so old that parts got to be made. You got to custom make the parts. We have spent millions of dollars in emergency repairs over the years, and they are asking for $75 million to repair that plant, which has to be moved. We have gotten the word. It's in a tsunami zone. We have to relocate it. A new plant costs $36 million. They want $75 million to fix this one. I'm not an engineer, and I did go to Core High School. But all I know, $75 to fix a plant that needs to be relocated versus $36 million to put a new plant across the highway, what would you do? That is, I'm Paul.
All right. Former County Council candidate Trikey Fernandez-Coberto. Kauai feels like it's changing real fast, and not for the better. Culturally, it feels like Kauai is becoming more like Oahu and Maui, where the ultra-rich and tourists are a dominating influence over locals. What will Mr. Raposo do to help lift up the locals while balancing our economy, housing, environment, and quality of life?
I think hopefully, you know, most of those questions were answered in the organizational questions. You know, again, it's really the mindset and the attitude of putting our local residents first. I think that is primary. Restoring that trust in the community. Tourism is the industry. And don't let anybody tell you that's going to go away. Don't let anybody tell you that there's another industry lurking outside that's going to overtake tourism. I am a realist. That makes for a bad or a poor politician, because sometimes the truth hurts, but that is the reality, and we need to embrace it. But again, we need to make sure that when we embrace this industry or whatever industry we're talking about, it doesn't come create an impact on our local residents. I mean, that's just the mindset that we got to have, and that is something that we got to carry through in our day-to-day lives as a county. Kauai has changed, and it is changing, and it's not going to stop. We can slow progress down, but you're not going to stop the progress. I'll give you an example. I like using the Kauai example because that's such a good example of what not to do. That development of that project in Kauai that was done, and it was done in a way that the community was not really consulted with, and now they're stuck with a project that potentially is going to put a lot of vehicles on the streets of residents that have bought or rented. They're going to be parking on the streets. What does that do for the Kauai community? It creates an extreme hazard in a case we need to do an evacuation for a natural disaster. Why wasn't that considered? So it's the mindset of the administration. I mean, if people want to come work in my administration, they're going to have to be committed to putting our local residents first, committed to be able to tell developers, sorry, did you meet with the community yet? No. Then go meet with the community first, and then you come see us. That has to be the way we do things. Otherwise, you're going to see more Kauai's pop up, more Rice Streets pop up. You're going to see all of these things that the community did not have a say in. And that's all I'm suggesting is that when we are, that's why I like the fact that we control the land, because we control the placement of these projects. You know, the Constitution provides many rights to property, to landowners, and we cannot infringe on that. But if we work with them in a way that includes the community, I believe that the final product will be palatable to the residents. I got to believe that. Thank you.
You're listening to Kauai Community Radio, KKCR.
Member, the invasive parakeets are destroying our fruit industry, causing a nuisance, and are multiplying rapidly. What will you do to address this issue?
Just eradication. I mean, it's eradication and supporting the eradication efforts of these birds. They're beautiful birds. One of my friends had one in his garage, and I walked up, and because I had only seen the birds fly by the county building, you know, like thousands of them, you know, and I never got a chance to see one up front. So I went into my friend's garage. He had one in a cage, and I looked at it and I said, "Bro, how much you paid for this bird?" Because I thought it was one that you buy in a pet shops, and it wasn't. It was a parakeet. That didn't look like a parakeet. It looks like a parrot. And they're very lovable birds, but they are destroying our farmers. So, I love animals. Okay, I know this is going to be taken so out of context, but I love animals. But I love humans more. And I think we really got to put the focus on getting rid of these invasives that have come in and destroyed our farms. And I'll get all the animal lovers after me tomorrow. But You know, I'll say this because I think it's a great time to say this. I always reserve the right to change my mind. I have voted against bills that I've introduced because since the introduction, we have heard testimony or saw, got in data or information that made me realize that was not a good bill. Vote against my own bill. So whatever I share with you tonight, you need to understand that is where I am at today, at this moment in time, based on the information that I have received over the last 18 years on this council. But if you have a better idea, I'm open. I really am. And I hope that people can see that. Because remember I said early on, I think it was early in one of the questions, was that the answers to our problems are in our community. We just got to go find them. And that's where I rely on all of you. You guys are all influential people here. And my door is open. And I definitely want to hear from y'all.
All right. Next question from a Kauai Wire listener. What are your thoughts on access roads in times of emergencies?
Open them up, you know. Again, this is another thing that I have been pounding the drum on. And I don't want to oversimplify the process because it's not as easy as it sounds. But I was there with Brian Baptiste when he was the mayor. Bless his soul. Best mayor I've ever worked with. When we opened the Wailua Corridor Road, you know, I remember that. It was not an easy thing to do, but they got it done. And all it requires really is an agreement between the county and the landowners to utilize these roads when you need to. And it could be for a natural disaster. It could be for a traffic accident. It could be for whatever you need to move people, you can open up the roads. So we have an amazing network of old cane haul roads that exist right now that I would pursue very aggressively in getting the rights of entry to these places, to these roads, so that in the event we got to get people out of a bad situation, we can. These roads aren't built up to federal highway standards, and it's not 50 mile an hour roads. These are roads specifically designed to get people out of danger in the quickest way possible. That, to me, is another low-hanging fruit. And I cannot imagine any landowner telling the mayor, especially if it's Mayor Mel, bro, we're not going to do that. Because then Mayor Mel could go see the county council and say, how about if we condemn that portion of the road that we need for emergency use? I think at that point, the landowner says, okay, maybe we can let you guys use them for emergencies. It's that important. During the tidal wave, the tsunami alert, the last one, we don't get to go in the emergency operating center. Even the council chair don't get to go in there. But our county clerk has a seat in that emergency operating center. And she has a chair in there because if there is emergency actions that need to be taken, the county clerk signs all of our legal documents. But it was her birthday. I said, Jade, go home. I'll go for you. That was a mistake because I was there till like midnight. And like that's like horrible, watching the Hanalei Bay waiting for the ripple. And it was real. It wasn't a drill. And we don't have buoys between, I think it was Wake Island and here. So we were just waiting for the wave. But in that process, I got to watch all the monitors with all the technology that we've spent money on over the years. I see it's put to good use because we could see where all the traffic log jams were. And I got scared. Because I'm thinking, what are we going to do if this wave hits? How are we going to get these people out of here? And they're not going to go nowhere. They got nowhere to go. Some may be able to get out of cars and run. Some won't. And then you end up with a situation like Lahaina. But it couldn't escape the threat in time. So that has been a very big part in my head since that alert. So I am very committed to working with these landowners to get those roads open.
All right. One more road question for you. Facebook Live viewer, what are some of your ideas to improve traffic?
Voice of the mayor is louder than the voice of the council chair. You know, we have a great partner with the State Department of Transportation, and I don't like punting. I hate punting issues to another agency. But again, as I said, I'm a realist. So part of the solution is what I just talked about, is opening up cane roads when we need to. Every year we go to Washington, D.C. as a council. We have our legislative conference up there. We get to meet with our federal delegation. We get to meet with agency heads from all over the federal government. And that has been an issue we've presented year after year after year, that we need federal assistance. We need a new highway. We cannot survive with this little two-lane highway across. This doesn't even go around the island. And I know a lot of people are like, no, more roads, more lanes bring more cars. Folks, the cars are here. We are building homes for our local residents, and we are creating a hazard around our island. We cannot move people. So while the state has their plan, and I think they're working on a little widening project from Lihue to the Tunnel of Trees, and that's going to alleviate some traffic until the next transition to two lanes. So it is really with working with our federal and state partners to find the solution. I don't have the answer to that. Sorry, man. It's rough.
I guess we all gotta take the county bus. Oh, sorry.
Or ride your bike.
Not supposed to talk. Sorry. Okay. I went Waimea High School. Okay. KKCR listener, are you in favor of continuing to allow select county workers to work from home multiple times per week? This was initiated during COVID.
You talking about teleworking?
Yeah. Yes. That's not what they asked, but yes, teleworking.
Yeah, teleworking was necessary during COVID. I mean, no one could go to work, right? I believe if you work for the county that you come to the office and you work at the office. I believe that if you are a government employee and that you serve the public, that there is a place for you at the building. I know this is going to upset all of our teleworking employees, but again, I'm not here to lie. I'm not here to say what I don't mean. There are situations in our county right now, and I'll give you an example, the county attorney's office, that we don't have a pool of attorneys here on Kauai raising their hand to come work for the county. In those cases, you know, I would definitely approve an exemption, because we need the county attorneys, and they can work remotely. Attorneys, you know, unless they're in court, they're not dealing with the communities. But if you're in a position that works with our communities, then you should be at work.
Okay, thank you. Next question is from a Kauai Wire listener. Will you be keeping the same appointed positions, and who will make the final decision if you become mayor?
I'm sorry, try that again. You know, I want to clarify one thing with the question before. You know, there are also situations where our employees, without violating HIPAA laws, require regular medical treatment that they can operate remotely while getting their treatment. Again, I'm good with that. But it'll be a case-by-case basis. So, sorry, what was the next one?
Thank you for clarifying that. Will you be keeping the same appointed positions, and who will make the final decision if you become mayor?
Let's start with that one. Who will make the final decision if I become mayor? I think that would be me. You know, I get that question a lot about, Mel, what you and, you know, because, you know, campaigns and politicians and all, you know, they do these, I think it's called whisper campaigns, where they say, brah, you vote for Mel, he gonna clean house. Brah, he's a hammer. I'm not one hammer. I'm actually a pretty cool dude. But my expectations are high. I have a very high, strong work ethic. I've been that working since I'm 14 years old. My parents taught me that. And I expect that from others. So yeah, the intent is not to go in there and wipe everybody out and start all over. That'd be the foolish thing to do for any mayor. You gotta have continuity. You gotta have institutional knowledge. But I will say this, because you know I haven't. I'm be honest with you guys. I have no idea who my managing director will be. I don't, and that is the God honest truth. Everyone that is currently in that administration is gonna have an opportunity to retain their job. Every single one of them. They're gonna have to get past the interview. They're gonna have to convince me that their abilities and their desire is to comply with the direction that we determine. I'd be foolish to get rid of everybody. I will just say this. When we take office, that cabinet is going to be made up of the most qualified, competent people that we have available. And I don't care whose flag they flew during a campaign. That is the God's honest truth. I am looking for a team. I'm a very big, huge football fan. I love coaching. I'm a coach. I love coaching. I want to win, not just the race, but I want to win as a mayor. And the only way I can do that is by having a team that can win, that wants to win, that's willing to do things differently. So I have worked with our existing department heads for many, many years, and we have some amazing people in charge of our departments. I want to give them the flexibility to be able to do their job. I'm not a micromanager for sure, but also I am all about accountability. I am all about accountability and deadlines, and that we got to move the needle to make Kauai a better place. So, yeah. So, sorry, guys. I don't have my cabinet picked, and I'm not firing everybody.
You're listening to KKCR Radio, Kauai Community Radio.
How are you to creating a government that is transparent about the county's success and the failures? What methods of platforms will you use to keep Kauai residents informed of the info they need?
Well, I hear Kauai Wire is going to have like a weekly show with the mayor to keep the people apprised. I hope he was telling the truth. So we will create an office of accountability immediately after taking office. And that office will be, the one-stop shop for all concerns or issues that come in from the constituents. That office is going to, I know you guys all have experienced this, where you call the county and you get a voicemail, or you call the county and you said, oh, that's not us, that's the state. Oh, that's not us, that's planning. No, that's engineering. No, that's parks. This office will route that where it needs to go. You will make one phone call, that call will come in, we will log it, we will track it, we will route it where it needs to go, and we will respond. The mayor, myself, will get a report every week or every 2 weeks to see what is still outstanding and why. And if it requires the mayor to intervene, I will intervene. But that will immediately bring accountability to all of our departments. It's going to happen, folks. It cannot not work, because the mayor is going to be involved. That also comes with a dashboard. And trust me, I've already, when we go to D.C., we don't only go up there for eat the food. We go up there to meet different council members and vendors that have services and products for, this. It's called Civic Track, or one of these companies, these softwares that automate most of these things. And creates a dashboard so you as a constituent can go up and track your issue and where it is. And what is our percentage of completion of the projects that we get assigned? It's going to force accountability on a department. And we shouldn't have to do that. But again, right, it's the selection of these department heads that's going to set the stage. And those department heads are going to have to be willing and able to do that. Accountability is key. Transparency, open door. If any one of you want to challenge me, call council tomorrow and tell them I want a meeting with the chair. Too early. And I can assure you that you will get a meeting with the chair. I really don't care who you are or what organization you're with. I don't screen my appointments. We got a couple people on the no-fly list, trust me, because they come in and they like fight. But aside from that, you want an appointment, you got an appointment. That's not going to change when I become the mayor. It's just not. I love the interaction with the constituents. That's just how I am. That's how I get the people say, you're so smart. No, I'm not smart. I just have a lot of people feeding me the right information. That's just how this thing works.
All right. Next question from Kauai Wire. Any thoughts on bringing back the county fair?
I told myself, Mel, you got to just be honest. the reason I do not bring this topic up is because I don't want to raise false hopes for our people. But I will tell you that I have been working extremely hard with Young Brothers, with other organizations to help us bring the fair back. I want to bring the fair back. We all, people, were born and raised here. That was the thing. You guys too young, you don't know, but for us older people, that was the thing. And the biggest problem right now is the cost to ship these rides. We tried without the rides. We tried without the Midway E.K. Fernandez. It's just not the same. If we can get some help with Maui County funded that. Maui said, no, it's too important. I'm on that same track. I believe We want to build our ag industry, then you have an ag, you have a county fair. I remember going to the county fair and going to the animals where you could go play with the pigs. I don't know why I like the pigs. Maybe that's why I came on COP. But anyway, no offense, Paul Applegate.
Cut the mic.
I just had this real attraction to the animals that you could go up and pet them and stuff like that. And really, I think a lot of kids grow up like that, and then they end up joining 4-H, and then they end up becoming farmers and ranchers. And I cannot imagine how we have just allowed that to not continue. Yes, it's expensive. It is. And, you know, again, it's working with the young brothers, working with the organizations here on Kauai, working with the billionaires that enjoy our beauty that should be giving back to bring that fair back. I think that is something that we really got to pursue. So the answer to the question is, again, without committing to that, because I know it's a lot of money, but my definite idea is to get that thing back here as soon as we can.
All right. Facebook Live viewer, what can we do about Planning Commission? Should these folks be voted in or have term limits?
You know, that is a discussion for the public. Again, it goes back to what is the direction of the administration. The mayor appoints the Planning Commission. We and the county council, we're not allowed to get involved with the day-to-day operations of any department, and that is by charter. But I think it all starts with the planning director. The planning commission appoints the planning director, but the mayor appoints the planning commission. So let's be real, right? As the mayor is appointing his commission, the mayor is going to appoint commissioners that support the mayor's direction. You're not going to appoint commissioners that are going to fight with you. So the idea of putting community first is going to have to be a priority of every commissioner that sits on that commission. And as will the planning director. And I'm not going to sit up here, because again, it's the direction from the mayor and the administration that's going to dictate the direction this county goes in. So I think you heard my position on how this thing should go, community first. The planning director, whoever it may be, or if it remains to be Kaina, will have to be open and compliant to that standard that we are going to put the community first. So we make sure that the community's voices are heard by the commissioners. It's a hard question to ask, because if you elect them, you pay them. Term limits, I don't think it matters, because they get their direction from the planning department. So the issue is not the commissioners, it's the department. Mayor sets a direction for the department. The department submits the recommendations to the commissioners, and then they do the action. So it really starts at the department level, not the commission level.
All right, next question from a YouTube viewer. What's your plan for homelessness on Kauai?
Safe zones. I mean, I think, you know, we keep sweeping people from one beach to the next. And, you know, I would not support any sweeps. I think that to me is just makes no sense. You're kicking them out of one place to go to another one. Safe zones, to me, if we don't have a place to send these people to, and it's such a complex issue, because homelessness has, you have people suffering from addiction, you have people suffering from mental health issues. And that is not somebody that you can just toss in a safe zone. So remember I talked about the voice of the mayor. I can tell you, my first month in office, I probably get 86 from the governor's office, because the state needs to step up on providing these services for mental health. We have nothing here. There is absolutely nothing. And I am hoping that I will be able to influence the governor and the legislature to start providing these services. It's critical. You cannot solve the homeless issue if we're not solving a mental health issue or addiction issue. So, but I believe safe zones is a start. This year, the county budget had $500,000 for homeless issues or homeless services, homeless houseless services. Council Vice Chair Kipukai Kuli and Council Member Holland introduced a money package that added $1 million to that, with $500,000 specifically dedicated to safe zones. That was passed unanimously. That's in the budget today. And we are waiting, excuse me, we're waiting for the administration to put that money's available for the communities. Remember, nonprofits are the ones that do that, not the county. The county cannot go run a safe zone, but the nonprofit agency can. The churches can. There's people out here, organizations right now that are willing and able to do it. They just don't have the funding. So we can provide the funding and get those things done. We set up safe zones across the island. Now, when we go, I don't think that we should be, that this homeless community should be taking away space from our parks and our public spaces that our families cannot enjoy. But again, why kick them out of this beach so that they go to that beach? And it's just a vicious circle. We need to solve the problem. The problem is not the homeless. And you know, people, when you hear the word homeless, you think about that person running down Rice Street screaming and yelling or whatever. But that's not. That's a demographic of the homeless. But the reality is we got our families that are living in their cars. One of the things that really frustrated me is even the last two administrations, I wanted to open up the parking lot of Vedina Stadium. What a wonderful place. Police station right next door. Open them up at night when the stadium is not being used. In that facility, there's showers, there's restrooms. You can have these people pull up at night. The lights are on. The police station is right there, and they get to go in and, you know, give them some dignity. You know, allow them to use the bathrooms and the showers. They're not criminals. And when you go and find these people, you know, again, part of my job is a process server. I used to have to go and find people, and I would end up going to homeless camps, and I see these are kids and grandmas and grandpas. And we cannot be just kicking them out of places. We got to provide the services for them. They're living in their cars, and it's not because they choose to. It's because they got the little letter that said, you are being evicted because we sold your house, or because I can make more money selling market rent. So I'm sorry, you got to go find another place. And their other place is the van that ends up down at the beach, and they're worried about the park rangers kicking them out. They're worried about the bad guys coming and stealing their property. This thing's happening right here on Kauai. And how can we close our eye to that? So the council did their part. We put the money in there. Now we're partnering with the nonprofits to make it happen. Yeah. Sorry, I get passionate and emotional because that, how can that be?
You want to take a drink real quick?
Yep. Sorry, go ahead.
No, you're good. YouTube viewer, why did the county give Hyena Beach Park to the state? Why is camping not allowed at Hyena Beach Park?
Oh, I wish I could ask the parks guy that question that's sitting right over there, but I won't. Hyena Beach Park's been a discussion for a long time, and it's kind of stemmed from what the Hanalei Initiative did out at KA. You guys all remember KA. KA was a mess. You could not, a local resident could not use KA Beach. It was a mess. Hanalei Initiative, the Hyena groups came out and created this amazing plan that is working. It's now the model for parks all over the country, to be honest with you. And the proposal was that, hey, why not give Hyena to the state and they can continue on with that same model at Hyena? Because when you did that to KA, it was great for KA. But then you just brought all the people back to Hyena. So there's a downside, right? Because when we do it to Hyena, then, you know, the next beach is going to get overpopulated. But what else do we do? You know, we do it one at a time. And one thing I really want to make sure is that, remember I talked about the visitor impacts, it's impacting our local residents' quality of life. That's what these projects do. It improves the quality of life for our residents, because our residents now get to use KA. They will be able to get to use Hyena. As far as the camping, I'm not sure. I tell them, shoot me a message. I would have to find out. Again, the camping, so the Parks Department sets up administrative rules for all these parks. Those don't come to council. Those are administrative rules that the administration has the authority to do. I honestly cannot answer why we don't have camping at Hyena.
All right, next question from YouTube viewer. Where could you cut budget from the county?
Where could you cut?
So we go through a budget process every year, and we question a lot of the things that we spend money on. We do, legitimately, and some more than others. But when you are in the council and you're going through the budget hearings and the budget, the departments are up there and you're questioning an expense, and they're asking you, are you asking them, you know, is this something that you're going to get completed in this fiscal year? And they tell you, yeah. Even though you think they're not, but they tell you, yeah. It's very hard for the council to cut that budget because you are going to be the reason why that project doesn't move forward. Yes, the council has the authority to cut it all, but we also got to make sure that our services are being rendered to the constituents and that our projects are being completed. So while I question a lot of our CIP projects, I do, it's very hard to get 5 votes on the county council to cut a project because I don't believe it's going to get completed and the administration is telling us that they will. So all I can tell you is that, you know, when I become the mayor, we will do a complete reassessment of every single CIP project that we have, every single project that we currently fund. And, you know, I remember I told you I was really into audits. I love audits. I think they're a great tool. I don't need the council to do the audit for the mayor's office, for the mayor's department. The mayor can do that as well. So performance audits to me, I think, you know, and it's not cheap, but yet, you know, I believe we we have the funding to do 3 to 5 audits a year on different programs and different departments that will only help us become more efficient and more effective. I truly appreciate audits. And if you've never seen an audit report, you got to read it. Or go pull one and read one because it's based on third-party independent review of something that we have been doing forever. And if you ask a county worker, why are you doing this? It's because that's how we always did it. And the reality is we need the fresh sets of eyes looking at these programs and determining, is this the best for us on Kauai? And that is how you... So we also have a cost control commission, which when I came into council in 2002, I was going through the charter and I say, what is this cost control commission? They said, well, that's the mayors don't like that. Well, but the charter says we got to have it. So we installed the first cost control commission. Their function is to review all programs in the county. They have unlimited access to whatever they want, and they have the ability to form legislation or create legislation to the council to act on for cost-saving measures without impacts to the service. I plan to use the cost control commission quite heavily.
That was a question, man.
That was a big question. Is that the last one?
No. Almost there. Almost there. We're cut off. I have 4 more questions. Okay. Live audience, what are your thoughts about the new surveillance cameras obtained with federal funding? Specifically address the unintended consequences such as invasion of our privacy, weaponization, and other questionable uses. Are there ways to establish guardrails to protect citizens?
Absolutely. I mean, all of these, you know, let me just say, again, I'm a football guy, I'm a coach, and I love advice from coaches. And one of my dearest friends, Coach Dick Oyoka, I don't know if you know Dick Oyoka, he played on a UH football team when they beat Nebraska. They were like 100-point underdogs, and they went up to Nebraska and beat them. Anyway, I was sitting him one day, and he's one of my mentors, and he said, you only need to know 2 things. I said, what's that, coach? Copy success. I am very concerned about invasion of privacy. You know, I am. But I can tell you that somewhere in this country, there is a program that will work, maybe with a few tweaks, but here on Kauai. I support surveillance cameras in areas where our parks gets destroyed. We're not pointing cameras in your bedroom windows. We're trying to deter people from creating damage to our properties and injuries to people. Obviously, as a mayor, I would weigh out the balance out and see, you know, where if it's threatening anybody's privacy, then, you know, the answer is no. I mean, we're just not going to do it. But for what I see and where I think these things would be beneficial, I don't see how anybody's privacy would be invaded. I don't. But yeah, I'm definitely cognizant and supportive of protecting people's privacy, especially mine.
All right. Kauai Wire listener, does the Department of Accountability require expansion of government position or done with current employees?
Current employees. No additional resources.
Wow, that was a quick question.
Yeah, I mean, I can talk for 3 minutes, but I mean, I want to get to as many. That is a very simple question, and it's a great question because I know a lot of people say, "Yeah, more you can hire your friends, right?" No. We will be able to accomplish that with the existing positions that currently sit in the administration.
All right, live audience, would you consider closing down county beach parks temporarily or seasonally to allow the oceans and the beaches to recover?
I mean, I'm not sure. The county beach park doesn't... I guess I'm assuming they're talking about abutting. I wish they would provide an example. If the county beach park activities are contributing to the erosion of a beach, I'll definitely consider that. I cannot think of any beaches right now that the fact that the beach is open is creating an erosion hazard. But again, you know, feel free to message me or call me, and I can answer that question. But yeah, I mean, if our activities on a beach is creating an issue for our coastline, and it needs to be closed temporarily, I think that would be the way to go. It's hard though without knowing what specific beach and what specific erosion. This is like a speed round. Yeah, love it.
You got one more question, and it's from one of my listeners, Kauai Wire. How do you plan on helping the mental health crisis? How do you plan on keeping mental health providers on island?
Well, I mean, keeping mental health providers, everything goes back to housing, right? I mean, I'm not going to waste more time on the housing. I think we got a definite housing crisis. Inventory is what we need. You know, it's creating inventory, you do it by providing developers, nonprofit, for-profit developers with land so they can offset the cost so we can actually make the spreadsheets work. Mental health services, the county is not going to be able to build a facility that's going to treat mental health patients. I mean, it's just not going to happen. So again, it is working. Listen, there's a possibility that we will have a lieutenant governor, Senate President, Speaker of the House, and a House Majority Leader, all from Kauai. And a mayor that is going to be pounding them about sending some resources our way. I don't know why, and again, I mean no disrespect, I'm just being honest. I cannot understand why we have not, and I'm talking about the state, have not allocated more resources to the local neighbor islands for these mental health issues. I just don't. You know, we approve grants all the time coming from state, Department of Transportation, Department of Public Safety, blah. Here, $150,000, $1.2 million, $3. And I'm thinking, okay, where's the grant for help us for mental health? So it's really bringing an awareness and being a persistent pain in the okole at the state level until they listen. I mean, those questions are so difficult because if I had my way, yeah, we'd build a hospital. We'd build a place where you could go get help. We just don't have that capability. So we got to rely on our state partners and our federal partners.
All right, that concludes our questions from our community. I want to thank you personally for coming out and making time for us and this event. I'm going to hand over the mic to Radio Annie, and we'll close this out.
Truly, thank you for coming tonight and answering so many surprise questions. Megan, do you have a count on how many questions he asked tonight?
208.
I still have more for your coffee hour.
Okay.
So that is a significant thing. If you still have questions and you're listening via KKCR or on Kauai Wire's Facebook Live, on Malama Kauai's Facebook Live, or on Ho'ike's listening on YouTube channel, You can still submit those questions and Megan will collect them for your coffee hour on Monday. So there will be more and hopefully we will get to that 208 number that you're looking for. And Mel, do you have a closing statement for the folks of Kauai?
I sure do. Can I say anything I want?
Absolutely anything.
And
I'm not timing you.
You're not timing me?
No.
Okay, cool.
I'll put it down.
I'll just say this. Thank you. You know, coming here, you know, people say, "Right, you're not nervous?" No, I'm not nervous. I'm not nervous because these questions that are being asked are questions that we get asked all the time. I said it earlier, right? These forums aren't for me. It's not for the candidate. It's for the public. And this format is incredible. I didn't expect that many questions. I love the speed dating type. It's really cool. We did it in Kilauea at the forum they did in Kilauea. That was incredible. And you sat on a table and then everybody just went ballistic. And then you go to the next table and it happened again. But everybody's issues are pretty much the same. Everybody's issues here on Kauai is about, you know, how are we going to protect Kauai? How are we going to keep this place for our kids and our grandkids to be able to stay here? That is what I lose sleep most about, is what do we do? Even as the mayor, as a council chair, very limited. Even as the mayor, there's some limitations. But, you know, I've been in a better place to make these decisions that can make a difference. This journey is not an easy journey. I mean, it's tough. And you know, I wish I had the solution for every single problem on this island, but it's not going to be just the mayor. It's not going to be just the administration or the council. It's going to be this community. That is the reality. You know, we, after Hurricane Iniki, this community came together amazingly well. And I was a cop at the time, and I just saw communities and people that didn't know each other helping each other. And you think about it, right? That was a natural disaster. That was a hurricane. Like no one, a lot of people has never seen. I was blown away. But if you think about it, aren't we in a disaster right now? Aren't we going through, not a hurricane, but aren't we going through a disaster of the economy and of housing? And isn't this similar, where we should all be coming together and working together for solutions? I believe with all my heart that the solutions for this island's problems lie within our own community. And we have just not identified them. Believe me when I say, I am very open to listening to people that have solutions or suggestions. And I have, part of my administration will be, and I mentioned, to some extent I mentioned it earlier, but is really working with these groups of people that are specialized in certain things. That is the contracting association, the visitor industry, the environmental community. I told Zero Waste Kauai, you guys got a seat on my solid waste task force, because we need to hear from everybody. We cannot come in with a preconceived notion because I heard somebody that made a sales pitch in Washington, D.C. about how they can help our problems on Kauai, put out the RFP so they get the contract, come here and find out, ooh, maybe that don't work here. Why are we not doing it local first? Why are we not talking to our local people first? And if we need the technical expertise, we'll go ahead and solicit that from the experts that are out there. I appreciate you guys being here tonight. I appreciate you guys for allowing the public to come in, because it was closed initially. So I really appreciate you guys all coming and tuning in. My website is melformayor.org. You can see my vision plan there. And you can tune in every Monday morning at 7 a.m. on Facebook and YouTube. I see some of you regulars here tonight. It started off as an hour show. It's now 90 minutes, kind of like tonight. Yeah, it started out as, anyway. Yeah, just go to Facebook or YouTube and find my channel, Mel Raposo. And every Monday morning from 7 to 8:30, it's live. You can call in or you can put in your question. And I'd be more than happy to hear from all of you. Appreciate you guys. One more time I want to ask you all to give a round of applause to Hawike, KKCR, Malama Kauai, and all the organization that put this together. Phenomenal effort, and regardless of what you may read on Facebook, this event was coordinated well. This event was coordinated fairly and very transparently. And I thank you all for that. Appreciate you guys.
Thank you very much. I do want to let our listeners know and everyone know that this is going to be archived at kkcr.org. You can go there and listen to it again. You'll also find it at Kauai Wire's podcast channel. You'll find it on Ho'ike's YouTube channel, and I'll send you a recording, and you can find it at melproposalformayor.org.
Melformayor.org.
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 Melformayor.
Are you trying to confuse me?
I don't know.
It's melformayor.org.
I've been standing up this whole time. And thank you, everyone that was here tonight. I appreciate everyone's input. Thanks for everyone that was listening and watching. Civic engagement is key, and I'm glad that we're all part of it together. Aloha.
Aloha.